today on Life Talk.
Every professing Christian on earth should have the same three goals. I should have it, you should have it. We should all have the same three goals: to fight the good fight, not to stay on the sidelines, but to fight the good fight, to finish the Christian race, and to keep the faith.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. Today, we're going to talk about the high importance of finishing well. And no, I'm not talking about finishing a project well or a school paper or a new paint job on the house. I'm talking about finishing life well, our journey on planet Earth. I'm talking about what Paul the Apostle was talking about when he said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith." Many people begin the Christian journey strong, but they don't finish strong. God wants all of us to finish with a flourish. So let's dive right into part two of the message, Finish Well.
Now, I think Paul the Apostle was the greatest Christian to ever live. I've said that many times, and I'm not trying to compare him to the other apostles or anything. It's just nobody exemplified the highest level of Christian life like the Apostle Paul. And that's just my humble opinion. I love Peter, love James, love John, love them all, but Paul knocked it way out of the park in his Christian commitment, his fire, his zeal, his sacrifice, his love of people, love of the church, love of the Lord. He was used of God to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And it's amazing to think that he was once a killer of Christians and a persecutor of the church like none other. As bad as he was as a persecutor, he was that good as a sold out believer once he was saved. Amen? Now, again, Paul is summing up his life. He knows he's about to be martyred. He's not about to be set free or die of old age. He knows he's about to be martyred. He knows he's about to lose his head for his testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm looking at my life. I'm summing it up. I'm an older man now. I've lived for Jesus all these years. Let me give you an autobiographical sketch in one verse of my life. I had a fight to win. I had a race to finish. I had a faith to keep. And I succeeded in all three." That's my life in a nutshell. What a great statement about your life. Now, I want you to notice that he places the before every one of the three things he mentions. The good fight, the race, the faith. It wasn't just any fight. It wasn't just any race. It wasn't just any faith. It was the fight, the race, the faith. When he put the in front of those three, he was saying these three things are higher. They are in their own stratosphere. They stand alone, far away and above any other fight or race or faith. They are exclusively the fight, the race, the faith. There's nothing like them. Placing the word "the" in front of each of them is to say there was no other fight or race or faith more supreme, more important than they were. And folks, that stands true for you and me. It is the fight that we're in. It is the race that we're running. It is the faith that we are keeping. Amen? So Paul's assessment of his life, he said it was a fight, but it was a good fight. Now, the word that he uses, he said, "I have fought. I have fought." That comes from the Greek word agonizomai. Agonizomai. Now, we hear a word in there, don't we? Agony. He said, I have agonized in this fight. It's where we get the word agony or to agonize. And it pictures an athlete contending for a prize, struggling, straining, striving, stretching, sweating, exerting himself. That's the idea behind the word fought. I have stretched, exerted myself, sweated, pushed, strained, fought, struggled, wrestled. I have given it everything that I've got. Folks, listen, the Christian life is not a life of ease. The Christian life is a life of battle, but it's a good battle. Amen? Because in the middle of the battle, we have the peace of the living God. We have peace with God. But he says, I have fought, I have agonized, I have strained, I have struggled. You ever feel that way? When we got saved, we were turned the other direction from the world. The world's going this way, we're going this way. The world is going downstream, further and further down into sin. We're swimming upstream, reaching up for God. And it's a struggle every day. But I want you to say with me, it's a good struggle. Every professing Christian on earth should have the same three goals. I should have it. You should have it. That's why I'm speaking on it today. We should all have the same three goals: to fight the good fight, not to stay on the sidelines, but to fight the good fight, to finish the Christian race. And I'm going to tell you what that means in a little bit, and to keep the faith. Everybody say the faith. Now, another part of the fight, the good fight, is combat with the devil. Combat with the devil himself is part of the good fight. Combat with the devil, not just fighting against sin, not just enduring persecution, but the good fight includes battling Satan. You know, I was amazed to read. I read a Barna survey, and Barna surveys the church all the time, does polls of the church. He surveyed 1,800 believers, and I want you to listen to this. He surveyed 1,800 professing Christians. And he asked them what they believed about the devil. 4 out of 10, that's 40%. If we put this room in half, pretty much, and we have this half and this half, 40% strongly, didn't just agree, but strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but only a symbol of evil. 40% of believers strongly agreed with the statement, Satan is only a symbol of evil. He's not a real person. He's not a real being. He's just a symbol, like some myth or something in ancient literature. But he's not really a real being. And I read that and I said, that's shocking. Because what Bible are they reading? They're not reading my Bible. What Jesus are they reading about? They're not reading about the Jesus I read about. The Bible couldn't be more clear that we are battling a real person, a being of high intelligence and power, and who has fallen. Listen to what the Bible says, Ephesians 6, but I'm reading it out of the Living Bible. Listen to this. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all the strategies and tricks of Satan. Not tricks of a myth or a symbol of evil, but tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against, listen to what he says, verse 12. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. Persons without bodies. Personalities that are real, that don't have physical bodies, but they are persons. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits, that would be the demons in the spirit world. Part of the good fight is we're in hand-to-hand combat with beings without bodies that operate in the spirit world. A lot of times what we think we're fighting a human being, we're not really fighting a human being at all, but we're fighting somebody who has been induced by the enemy to bring conflict into our life. He said, you're not battling flesh and blood. Now, this was the apostle who was always beaten up for the cause of Christ, whose Jesus was blasphemed to his face, who was thrown in jail for doing right and not wrong, who had his back laid open 5 different times, by 40 lashes, save 139. That's 195 lashes laid across his bare back, turned his back into hamburger meat. If you had looked at the Apostle Paul's back in his old age, you would have had to have turned away. It looked like a roadmap of scars. And he said, flesh and blood was not my enemy. No, my enemy is unseen. My enemy is real. My enemy is a personage, a spiritual personage that is attacking me through people. We note that Jesus sure wasn't dealing with symbols of evil when demons came screaming out of people at his command. He wasn't battling a symbol of evil when he battled the devil in the wilderness, and the devil tempted him over and over again to try to cause him to forfeit who he was in God. He wasn't fighting with a symbol of evil. It says Satan left him until an opportune time. A real person. When Jesus told us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say, here's what he did say, as a matter of fact. He said, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So part of our fight, the good fight, is the fight with the devil. And I got good news for you. We win and he loses, because inside of us is the winner. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the greatest victor of all time living inside of you. He doesn't give up, he doesn't quit, and he does not lose. Amen. So Satan is real, and he's part of the good fight in our battle against evil. So the good fight is the battle against sin, is enduring persecution, is combat with Satan. So Paul says, I have fought the good fight, and by God's grace, I was a victor. And folks, how many of you want to be able to say that at the end of your life? Amen? Satan is a defeated foe. Thank God for that. Now, secondly, he says, I finished the race. Let me move right along. I finished the race. Now, the word race to his readers immediately conjured up an Olympic race where there's the big track, the running track. And he knew that when he used the word race, that's the image that would be conjured. And the runners would line up, and then the shot is fired and the race is on. They have X number of laps to run, and then the first person to break the tape at the finish line is the winner after running several laps. Now for Paul, the illustration he's using here is the race represents God's purpose for his life, God's assignment on his life. What God had called him to do, laid his hand on him to do. Finishing the race, what God had called him to accomplish was everything to him. Now, folks, remember, no, we don't have the calling of the Apostle Paul, but all of us are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a called out people, that we would show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we don't have Paul's calling, but we have a calling. Amen. I want you to say with me, I've got a calling.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So don't think, well, that's just the Apostle Paul and doesn't have anything to do with me. Yes, it does. So we have a race to run. We have an assignment to complete. We have a purpose to finish. And so listen to Paul. He said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's talking about the race. I press on that I may lay hold of, that I may lay hold of, that I may make my own that for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me. Do you see it? When you got saved, you didn't just get saved for heaven. No, you got saved for that for which he laid hold of you. Are you with me? Let me make this simple. I love dogs. You know I love dogs. All my dogs are rescues. Now, when I rescue a dog, I go to the pound. And I say this. I literally do say this. I say, show me the ones that nobody has wanted. The one that I've got right now, one of the two, had been in there for 5 months. No, I'm wrong. Almost a year. 10 months. And they took me to her. And I looked at her. She's looking out of her little cage at me. Now, let me tell you something. My heart goes out to animals and people. So don't think I'm just an animal guy. I love you too. But I looked at her in this cage and I thought, 10 months. Now, they said this to me. They said, twice we have saved her from being put down. When they were going to come get her to put her down, we snuck her into another cage. So I said, all right, how come nobody wants her? Because she has heartworms. Nobody wants to fool with it. I said, I'll take her. Now, I got her out of the cage. I petted her. She wasn't sure, am I going to really get her or not? I said, I want that one. Now, I didn't just want her because I wanted to get her out of the cage. No. I had a vision for her, a dream for her, a purpose for her. I saw her living in my house. I saw her going on walks with us. I saw her making our family happier. I saw her blessing our home. I saw her acting as a watchdog, because this dog can bark, let me tell you, she can bark. I had a vision for her, so I had to go slap money down to get her out of that pound. So I paid the money and I took her out. I had a vision of taking her home where I live. I had a vision of taking her from a cage to a castle. Now, let me tell you something. Watch this now. I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to get it. Because Jesus came up to your cage. Jesus came up where you were living in sin and you could not get out. Jesus came up where you were doomed to die if somebody did not get you out of that cage. And Jesus slapped down on the bar of God, the only currency that could set you free, his shed blood. And when Jesus saved you, he had something in his mind. Not just to take you where he lives, but to give you a reason, a purpose, a meaning. He saw you doing things for the glory of God, involved in good works, going here, going there, being a blessing, going about everywhere doing good, healing people oppressed of the devil, setting people free, witnessing for him. He had a vision for you and he took you out of the cage. He said, I want that one that nobody wants. That for which Jesus laid hold of me. Are you with me? Paul was in a cage of sin. He was going straight to hell. The Lord Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus, saved him, called him, and ultimately to take him where he lives. Jesus saved us to take us where he lives, but in the meantime, there is a that for which he laid hold of us, and that is our assignment. That is our purpose. That is our call. That's our reason. He's left us here breathing on this earth. Paul told the Ephesian elders, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Listen to those words of this mighty man. My life is worth nothing to me, nothing, unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. You can make $1 billion, but if you don't do what God has for your life, you are a failure. You can be living in a Cracker Jack box somewhere on some street with no money, but you're living in the will of God and you're doing what he's called you to do and you are rich. You are better off than the man living in a mansion who can't sleep in his satin sheets because his conscience won't let him. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit worked up. I want you, some of you are going, whoa, he's really, no, I got to tell you, this is where I live, because the most important thing to me in the world is finishing my race, finishing my course, completing my assignment. And you've got an assignment. I've got an assignment. You've got an assignment. When I was 16, I got saved in juvenile home. When I was 18, I had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord laid his hand on me to preach. And the one thing I live for is to finish what he laid hold of me to do. I want to be able to say with Paul, I have finished, not almost finished, not kind of finished, not partly finished, but I have fully finished. Yeah. what he laid hold of me to do. Everybody say amen. Let me quickly move along and finish up. I have kept the faith. Isn't it interesting that Paul would say, I've kept the faith? Well, why did he have to keep it unless something was trying to steal it? I have kept the faith. Everybody say kept. He said, I fought a good fight, the Lord's fight. I have finished my heavenly assignment. And in all those years, I kept the faith. Kept means to watch over, to guard. You don't have to guard something unless it's being targeted by a thief. And our faith, the faith, remember, the faith is evermore targeted by the devil. Let me tell you what the faith is. Are you ready? Here's the faith. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He was seen by many eyewitnesses for a period of 40 days. He ascended back into heaven where he now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and he will someday return to rule the world. That's the faith. That's the faith. Amen? And Paul says, I held it close. I never deviated from it. I locked it away in my heart and I threw away the key, the faith. Once I knew he was the Savior and had died for me, once I knew he was coming back again, once I knew he was the way, the truth, and the life and the only way to get to heaven, I held it close and I refused to let it be stolen away from me by any competing belief system or religion. I held it close. Why does this matter to us today? Because the Bible predicts that in the last days, many are going to walk away from the faith. Paul warned, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We're in the last days. Listen to it in another version. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days, it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. One more version puts it this way. Remember this, Timothy, there are some terrible times coming in the last days. What will make the times so terrible in the last days? Paul points to one of several things. Here it is. He says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly. He's saying the witness of the Holy Ghost is beyond argument, beyond refute. The Holy Ghost is telling us that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. Some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from devils. They will be seduced away from the faith once delivered to the saints. In the last days, deception is going to be so widespread that those not well grounded in the Word of God will deviate from and walk away from and be seduced away from the faith. They won't hold it tight and they'll be taken away. Why would I tell you this today? Because, dear church, we're in that day. People that were not taught the Word of God, that's why I am a broken record at Turning Point Church. I tell you all the time, the most important thing you can do is learn that Bible, read that Bible, get into that Bible each and every day, because it'll guard you from deception. It'll keep you from being lied to. It'll help you defeat the devil. You cannot walk away from that Word without eventually drifting from God. You need the Bible. Everybody say with me, I need the Bible. Praise God. Those that truly love the Lord have a promise. And let me get you to stand and I'm going to read the promise. This is good stuff. You might want to read it with me. Let's put it up there and let's all read it together. Are you ready? Read it with me. Good and loud. Here's the promise of God to you and me. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, amen. Say with me, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.